is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, everybody. Dear, 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 dear friend of the show, Sharon Osbourne is here tonight.
Hello.
Good to see you.
Thank you so much. Good to see you.
How are your spirits? Seemed like a good question.
That's a very novel way, Adam, to say, how are you? I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. You look good.
Thank you.
Oh, you've been to hell and back, my dear. You've been, I've had trouble with yourself, the kids, Ozzy, the accident, the cancer.
Trying to do a talk show through all this?
Yeah, trying to do a talk show. I mean, could there be a 4-year or 3.5 year period, I don't know when we started, that had more highs, more lows, more success, more tragedy? Yeah. I mean, you've been on the planet for a while. It didn't feel like you got a lifetime squeezed into 3 years?
Yeah, it's all been condensed into 3 years, and it's been a hell of a ride.
I'm flashing now on a Osbourne show moment where you were on a jet with Kelly taking her back to somewhere and saying, hey, things are so wonderful now, but I'm such a Jewish mom, I expect the other shoe to drop any minute. And that was the before it all started.
But do you know what happened right after that? I swear to you, this is a true story. The next day after that, I got the result that I had cancer. And I said that the night before on the plane.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. You know, you just get the feeling that life is too good. It doesn't work this way.
I know, but it's, you know, it's life's tough because when it's really good, you're waiting for something bad to happen. And then when bad things are happening, well, bad things are happening.
Well, you're waiting for it to get better.
Yeah, but
when it gets better, you're waiting for it to get bad.
No, it's a roller coaster.
Hold on a second. Let me tell Drew. Shut up. What are you saying?
Here's
what I'm saying. I'm saying is when it's bad, it's bad. And when it's good, you're waiting for it to get bad.
Right.
Which can kind of ruin
it
too.
Bad. Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to end. When is this going to stop? It's a combination between I could just get randomly shot at the ATM, or when are people going to wise up, realize who I really am, and throw me out of here? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, that's what we're all...
That's what I'm going to do with you in this radio show.
You,
how dare you, Drew? Can you believe we get paid the same, Sharon? Oh, my God. That is like Ozzy getting paid the same as his roadie. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, sure, they technically travel. See, that's what Drew. Drew would be the roadie going, hey, man, I travel. I don't even get to fly in the plane. I got to take the bus.
I'm at the gig, too.
I'm at the
gig. You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I get there before you, dude, and I leave after you. I should get paid more.
I'm sure the roadie, people, fans are coming up to the roadies saying, as they often do to me, why don't they let you perform more? Why don't they let more of you come through? Ozzy hogs the stage too much.
It's all about you.
Yeah, Adam, it's all about you.
Thank you. All right, so let's see. What do we got here? Sharon, now, what's up with the talk show? The last episode is going to air May 12th, or is it taping May 12th?
We're taping till May 12th. The last episode is September 7th.
And then that's it?
Yeah.
Now, is it just too much of a grind?
No.
Or did you just do it and you did it?
It was a dream come true for me. I'd always wanted to do it. The opportunity came, and I ran with it. But I didn't get picked up for another year.
I really liked your show. I'm so surprised. Is there any chance somebody else will pick it up?
Not now, because I'm going off to do other things this year. Yeah, I'm going over to England to do a show there. Mm. Two shows, in fact. So not for a while, no.
I did Sharon's show when Sharon wasn't there. Kathy Griffin hosted. Yeah, they got everyone in the world to co-host but me. Or guest host, I should say. They actually did have one of Ozzy's roadies doing an episode. Well, Drew, you didn't do it. Did you do it?
Everyone in the world did it except you.
Did you? You must.
Everyone in the world.
Engineer Chris.
Yeah, Chris did.
Chris was there. I remember Chris. It was fabulous.
Yeah, he had all trouble with his cue cards, I remember. But
he got his glasses.
Everybody, well, anyway, Kathy Griffin's a dear, dear friend. I was glad to do it. But I was disappointed that she was there. A lot of times people show up here when Drew's on the road and they get Dr. Bruce and I can just see the look on their face. That's the same look I had on my face when Sharon wasn't there.
And the same look. You're going to go to jail, buddy.
Same look when Nadine shows up and the roadie they were looking forward to seeing wasn't there. Right?
That's right. Yeah. All right. So, Sharon has. Don't worry about her. She'll land on her feet. You're going to England to do TV shows?
Yeah, I've got two shows lined up.
I bet they'll be fun there.
Yeah, with two separate channels in the UK, and I'm doing that until the end of the year.
Are you? So you'll be moving there, I guess.
No, I'm going to do the shows back to back, and I'll probably be there for about 2 months and then come back home.
And now Ozfest is going to kick off July 10th.
Yes.
But Ozzy is not in any condition to perform, is he?
Yeah, he's doing so much better.
He is,
yeah. Yeah,
really?
He's fine. And it sort of, Adam, it gave him
he's
a date.
He's fine?
He's not fine as, I don't think that Ozzy will ever have the strength back that he once had before the accident, but mm-hmm. I mean, he's doing fine. He's
really
he's good.
And so this gives him something to shoot for.
Yeah, that date gave him something to work towards.
Was he actually on a ventilator for as long as they said he was?
8 days he was on a ventilator.
On the tube.
On the tube for 8 days, and they had to take him off the ventilator because they were scared of infection going into his vocal cords.
Of course.
And they'd given him like a few hours to see whether his body would breathe on his own. Otherwise, they were going to give him a tracheotomy.
Mm-hmm. So, Drew, 8 hours on the ventilator. I mean, 8 days on the ventilator. So, mega. Yes?
Yeah, that's to
serious.
Not get a pneumonia is amazing. To given the sort of the musculoskeletal injury and problems.
He did. He had mild pneumonia, and they thought that it was going to get worse, but thank God it didn't. But he did have it.
Wow. All right. Well, you know, the thing that's nice I was thinking about is when you're Ozzy Osbourne, you have this date of you going out in front of 55,000 people, whereas most people, it's just sort of, it's been 1 year since the accident, and I was going to, my goal was to make a solid BM on my own within, you know, the week of my anniversary of the snowmobile accident.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is much more motivation.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when he goes out and that stage, and the crowd's going to go insane.
I hope they will, because
he has
worked so hard since Christmas to get himself together again.
So he's rehabbing every day, he's on a treadmill, he's in a swimming pool.
And he has to work with a physiotherapist, mm-hmm. and, you know, he's so much better.
Really? All right, so let's go to the phones. Am I missing anything? No? Yes? All right. That's right here. Miss anything here, Drew, go. Diana?
Hi.
You're 16?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Actually, Bob, on a question for Dr. Drew, but my main question is, I was wondering, when you get your period and the egg comes out, if it's at all predetermined, and if it's just any egg that would have been hatched otherwise, like, let's say, like, someone's mother, a different egg came out, then, like, let's say my mom had my egg when she was, you know, a teenager, would I not be born?
What?
I think she's talking about giant turtles. You know, they go up to the beach.
They lay their eggs in the pit.
Yeah. You got to watch out because the crabs will get them before they make the surf. Little hatchlings. Okay, your egg drops down, right?
Your egg is released.
It doesn't hatch, per se.
No, the hatching suggests a calcium shell. But your egg is just a single cell.
It's just
tiny,
a cell.
Tiny cell.
But when you're pregnant, it hatches, right?
No. Oh, Diana.
By the way.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
LA Unified? No.
Hey, yeah, I want you to go, when you go into school tomorrow, I want you to find your health teacher. I want you to kick him right in the nuts and say, you failed me horribly. Kick him in the eggs, the huevos, as the Spaniards would say.
No, there's no hatching. The sperm penetrates the cell. The egg is a single cell.
Just one cell.
One cell. And the sperm is also one cell. Microscopic.
But it seems like
and
the
then
sperm
it starts,
is a smaller cell.
It is a
egg.
Smaller cell, absolutely. I mean, hundreds of times smaller, but maybe.
Oh, really?
And it gets
mean,
in there.
Like there's mega cells and minus cells?
It's bigger and smaller. I mean, there's single-celled organisms.
How small are the sperm?
What?
How small are the sperm? Like in like 10 to the negative what grams?
Oh.
How many angstroms are they across?
Ooh, Drew. Touche.
How many angstroms a sperm is across? But
wow.
The fact is that then the cell just starts dividing and then differentiating and forming a fetus.
Right.
And it does that while it's moving down the fallopian tubes.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, if the what's called the corpus luteum starts producing enough progesterone, it will prepare the uterus to accept the egg, and it'll implant in the uterine lining, and then the placenta will take over the production of progesterone to sustain the fetus.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
So when I have my period, that's an egg that could be penetrated by the sperm?
Yes, every time you have your period, there's an egg that goes unused.
Well, wait a second. I thought when you have your period, that's the lining sloughing off, and then you drop the egg 2 weeks later.
Yeah, the egg is, but it's, you have your period because the egg is unused.
Oh, you have the, because you're not utilizing the egg, it's not cracked. Yeah.
Not cracked.
All right. All right.
A little cracking thing.
All right. Hey, Diana?
Yeah.
Okay, baby. Don't be so depressed.
What's behind all that?
I don't know. I was just thinking about people living and stuff.
You're depressed.
No, I'm not. I'm actually doing well.
Well, then you're high. Then you're taking mushrooms. You're depressed. You're taking mushrooms.
What do you mean you're thinking about people living? What does that mean?
No, I don't. You're going to make fun of me. I just think a lot about people living and how they think and how they affect and everything. And I was just.
Every person is a result of a unique egg and a unique sperm.
That's right.
Millions and millions of sperm could have gotten to that egg, but one gets there and forms a unique person.
That's right. We're all different in our own ways.
Now, hey, your eyes get better. Speaking of different in our own way.
Now listen up, you lemmings.
Oh, you're
I'm the leader.
Your TV people must have gone insane when you walked in with that big thing on your eye.
All right. True. We're talking about eggs, not my eye. I had what I thought was an ingrown. I know. I'm not pointing at the side that hurts. I had what I thought. You shut up, Drew. I thought I had an ingrown hair and my thing was like there.
It's a cyst.
I'm still going with ingrown hair. I took a pin. I was trying to dig it out and it got all infected and everything. Drew got all weird. But let me tell you something about the Corollas. We snap back. This thing be gone in a day. Mm-hmm. Don't you worry. And here's the thing, too, about makeup. You know, you don't realize it. Mm-hmm. Till you do something. I've been shooting this ABC special all week. You go in there with a little neck rash, a little zit, a little blackhead, pow! They go right over. It's like going to the body shop. You got a scratch, you got a ding, you got a dent. Raul will buff that right out. And then you realize for women, every day is this. Now, it's a pain in the ass, but when a guy gets a zit, we gotta go out and face the world with that zit. I mean, we got something funky, something effed up, little herpy thing, little zit thing, little whatever thing. That's us. That's our badge, and people will know it. You know, you'll go to work. Like, hey, I like when people do it too. You got a zit. Like, hey, what happened there? A zit. Okay, because it looked like a zit. Yeah, it's a zit. Thanks for asking.
What happened here? I love that.
Any questions?
It's their favorite question. Hey, what happened here?
Yeah. Any other questions about the Brillo head or the yellow teeth? Any insulting things you want to get in? I mean, what happened here? Wait, you would go find short guys and ask them. Hey, what happened here? What happened with what's going on? I know that's why I hate people, Sharon. I get a dent in my car, and every MF-er in the planet has to come up to it and go, "Hey, what happened here? What happened? A meteor hit. Something hit the car. Hey, well, what happened? You don't care what. What do you mean? What happened?
If it's any consolation to you, I cannot see anything wrong with
Thank
your
you.
Eye. It's perfect.
You know why? Because it's like I'm like a son to Sharon. And in her eyes...
You radiate.
I'm a radiate.
You're perfect.
I don't mean a solar system.
Perfect.
Oh, I mean like
not
offspring.
Not S-U-N. I mean like an offspring.
A family
perfect.
Member.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, she idealized.
Thank you.
So you could do
Thank
no
you.
Wrong.
I'm just saying, though, am I right, though, when a woman... Drew, you've gotten a zit. Mm. Drew, what do you got? You got a little zit right there.
Do I? Why?
What is that? Right on the side of your leg. What do you got there?
What's happening here?
What's that? How'd
it's an ingrowing hair.
Yeah, what is that?
Well, give me your pin. Let me dig it out.
Show Sharon. Come on, look at that. Look at that. Unsightly. Unsightly.
That's a little spot,
yeah,
yes.
You call that
it is. It's a spot.
We call it a turnoff.
In England, they call zits spots.
Yes, it's a spot.
Yeah, it's very simpler, isn't it?
It's much nicer than a zit.
Yeah. Well, as a guy, you can't do anything with your spots. You get one, you got to go live with it. Women, you wear makeup,
roll right over.
We need to start a new movement here to start calling zits spots.
It's
so
much nicer.
Oh, it's so much more pleasant.
Yeah, zit has
British
such, a,
to use
such
language.
A horrible stigma
spots.
To it.
Spots. Yeah. He's got spots on his face.
Yeah, you're right.
It leaves out the pus and the white head. And
it
all
does,
the,
doesn't it?
Just leaves the red spots.
Yeah, we got our choice. We got zit and we got blackhead and we got whitehead. Whitehead's a good English name, by the way.
I
work with a guy
spot.
Named Whitehead. All right, let's get back to the
pustule.
Phones. Oh, Mike?
Leave that out.
Hi.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Been married about 5 months now. Just found out last night wife's pregnant. Having a pretty hard time dealing. I was wondering if what I'm feeling is normal and what my wife has been doing is normal. She's upstairs sleeping right now, so I got to be kind of quiet.
And you're 19 and she's 19?
Yeah.
All right.
And
she's pregnant. You're married how long?
5 months.
5 months.
And met her four and a half years ago.
Huh?
He met her four and a half years ago.
All right.
So what's the question?
She's been pretty mean and said some pretty jacked up things to me, and she talks about ex-boyfriends a lot, and it's upsetting me quite a bit. And
is she vomiting a lot?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. And how far into her pregnancy is she?
A month and a half.
6 weeks. It can be a pretty miserable time.
Yeah.
And also women sometimes feel terribly, terribly vulnerable as pregnancies hit, and they start, if you're not paying attention properly, they'll start acting out in various ways.
Really?
How so?
I mean, like with other guys?
No. I mean, sort of lashing out, I guess would be a better way. Lashing out would be a better way of saying it.
Women. Yeah. So it's almost like it's like premenstrual?
It's worse. For some women, it's way worse.
I don't know. They're just ex-boyfriends and like how she tried to get pregnant with them. And
well, her thing is, look what you've done to me. You made me miserable. Look what you've done.
No, she was trying actually. And
no, I understand, but now that you are pregnant, it's your fault that she feels so horrible.
Well, look, you screw.
And she feels vulnerable because you apparently, at least in her mind, probably are not spending the kind of giving her the kind of attention she feels she needs.
Yeah. Oh man. So.
Wait a minute. I'm going bogus here. I don't believe you, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
I'm sitting right here at home talking to you guys, and I'm very confused myself about this whole situation. And
All right, look.
Drew, what's more to be said? Look, you got to say something.
Well, I'm saying,
that.
What more can we say? It's just that she's miserable, maybe even getting a postpartum depression doesn't always start postpartum. It can start intrapartum, too.
No, Mike, she was on meds, so...
She was on medications before. Now she's off medicines. You shouldn't be surprised that she may start getting irritable.
But this is why you don't knock up 19-year-olds. This is why you don't get married at 19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you guys are a mess emotionally. That's the reality of it. And, you know, I don't know, by the way. And look, you stick it out and you stick with it and you stay together and you try to do what's best for the child. And I'm wondering, like, you know, I'm really starting to think where I think you could have got married at 19 150 years ago, because I think
lived to 40.
Yeah, not only lived to 40, but I think, you know, I'm just sitting there and watching you churn butter all day while I'm like fashioning a hat out of straw. I might as well get married at 11. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's tough at 19 to get married now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's so much going on and there's so much opportunity. And I don't mean just opportunity for other relationships.
Why would you want to get married at 19?
I have no idea. I know it has something to do with being stupid.
Hmm.
When you're dumb, you want to grow up really early. It's a weird thing.
Well, like, when you've your parents have done that, you have that as the model.
Yeah, well, maybe your parents are dumb. But dumb people like the idea of getting married at 18. They like the idea of, like, joining the army at 16 and 17. They want to do this stuff. They want to get out of high school. They're in a big hurry to get out of high school. And then they're just in a holding pattern.
Forever.
They're 17 for the rest of their life. They got the $9 an hour job. They're driving this crappy car. They're, you know, it's like you're in such a hurry to get out of high school, to get a job, to get independent, to get married, to have a family, whatever. And then you just stay this crappy 19-year-old couple for your whole life.
And miserable about having a baby on the way.
Mm.
Yeah, which is
scared, mostly
unfortunate. Oh, you should be scared at 19.
Oh God, so, can you imagine us fathers at 19? Oh my God.
Oh, and not only that. Well, first off, we never talk about this, Drew, but let's face it. You make a little money, you get a pad with a little square footage, you go to the other side of it, and the old lady starts freaking out. But, you know, people don't even tell you, when you're living on top of each other, that's stress. I mean, when you got a one-bedroom apartment and the old lady's spinning out, you can't head upstairs or go out to the back and shoot some hoops or something like that. You know, I'm going to hit the lap pool. You go to the library and pitch a tantrum. It's not like the Osborne house. You guys are on top. It's like, oh, yeah? I'll stay off my side of the futon. I mean, that's what it ends up being. You're just in the same place, and you don't have any money, and everything's real stressful, and it's really not the time you need to get married. I could see if you're farming and it was 100 years ago,
you need to create some children to work the farm.
Fine, fantastic. Don't do it now. I mean, 25, I think,
but
is young now.
They say they've been together 4.5 years. Yeah. I mean, that's insane. Mm.
By the way, they've been together for 4.5 years. Mm. Where's all the other boyfriends?
Yeah, where's all the other...
Wanted to get me pregnant. The other boyfriends, they've been together since 14, 15.
You want to ask him?
Yeah. Mike?
Yeah, there was a gap between those years we were apart. My brother got in trouble with the law. By the way, she's military. When you said Army, she's Air Force. So.
Shocking. All right, so listen, Mike, yeah. You don't sound like a dumb guy, but you're leading kind of a dumb life.
Yeah.
But right. He's already in. He's got a shot.
Okay, you're in, but you need to be the brains of the operation now.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
You're going to have to be a 19-year-old that doesn't act like a 19-year-old. You're going to have to step back and get a little distance and not join her in her dance. She's going to come after you. You can't dance with her.
Yep.
She's having all kinds of hormonal changes and feelings, and maybe she's an immature 19-year-old.
She's off her meds.
You're going to have to be a very mature 19-year-old. Yeah. On behalf of now, you're married and the child.
Mm.
All right. I'm just saying, why put that kind of pressure on yourself? Mm. All right. Let's talk. When do you hope your kids get married, Sharon? You got an age for them? You got 3 kids.
Yeah.
Now, what are they? How old's your oldest, by the way?
20.
20.
20, 19, and 18.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, obviously they're going to do what they want to do, but I don't think that anybody should get married before 26, 27.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, why not?
You know, usually say 28, 32 is sort of our zone.
Yeah, but realistically, and by the way, her kids have been, they've grown up a little faster than most kids. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like Jack can't stay off the market for too long. You know what I mean?
He's
a hot commodity, that kid.
You, what you love at 19, you don't love at 40.
That's true.
Right.
You know, come on, you grow, your tastes change, and it would just, if they chose to get married at this early age, of course, there's nothing I could do, and I would, support them. But I wouldn't be happy about it.
How old were you when you married Ozzy?
29.
Yeah, and that seemed about right, right?
That was right. I mean, I could never have done it before. I definitely wasn't ready. No way.
Let me give you a little tip, Sharon, as far as the kids go. You always play that angle. Well, look, I don't want them to do this, but if they do it, there's nothing I can do, and I'm going to love them anyway. You should do what Drew's mom would do, which is I'll beat your ass and I'll disown you, and you can't do this. And this is Drew's well in those 30s now. So all he wanted to do was buy a new water heater. She went right after. You know what I'm saying, Drew? That would be more effective. Because if I had a mom who was saying, look, I don't want you to do X, Y, or Z, but of course I can't stop you, and I won't stop loving you and supporting you. I'd just go do it. I'd be on my way doing it while she was doing it.
But what are you going to do when you've got kids who are independent? They don't need you for support. They can go do whatever they want. And
Now you got to try and make friends with them.
Yeah, and other than you say, you're going to break my heart. I'm going to be so disappointed. But what else can you do?
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, your kids are smart and they're independent and they have money. They have their own money. I mean, many kids are just like, look, I want to drop out of college. And go, no, you can't. I'm not going to pay. You're not going to fund it. You're not going to subsidize it. Your kids have their own bank account.
I can't say to them, I'm not going to support you through school, or I'm not going to pay for your car, or, I won't pay your rent. They just say, see ya.
Is Amy in school now? Or she?
No, she's out of school.
She's acting.
Yeah, and she writes. She's doing her own thing in New York.
She's out. She moved to New York.
Yeah.
That's right. I think, Kelly told us that, I believe.
Yeah.
All right. Sharon Osbourne in studio tonight. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, a little Germany or Florida to play after this. Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. There's Sharon Osbourne filling out her paperwork.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Drew didn't notice that.
I beg your pardon.
All right. That's Sharon Osbourne in the studio tonight.
Are you throwing a tantrum?
Maybe I had a tantrum last time, Sharon.
Yeah.
Again.
Oh, I got to tell you, everybody who is listening to the show somewhere other than Los Angeles, 103 degrees today, it said on my car thermometers. I was heading into Drew's hometown of Pasadena at about 110. in the afternoon. And I was thinking, we're in April. Like, it's yeah. not, we're not, you know, it's not June 1st. It's, we're in April.
Not July.
We're in the month. Yeah, well, it's not July, but what I mean is, it's like we're not
moving into
summer. It's not June. Yeah. Once in a while, something will spike in June, and it'll be like, well, what do you want? Summer's coming up, or we're getting into it. You know, okay, it's game on. Like it starts getting hot in June, it's like, all right, we got summer. But April, 103.
It's scary.
Mm. Crazy, oppressively hot in April. It was bizarre, and a big earthquake's coming.
You're declaring.
I'm just telling all you a-holes who want to move here from your distant lands to stay home. We got oppressive heat. We got race relations could be better. I'll be honest with you.
Lots of crime.
Bitch.
And you know people don't move their ass.
People do not drive correctly here. They don't shake a leg.
Lots of red arrows.
Yeah. Although I did, I was talking to Drew on my cell phone. I had a guy honk at me.
And it was a policeman.
No, it was. No, I did. Yeah. No, I was talking to you. You were saying to me, who are you yelling at? Is this guy?
Oh, this was funny. It's always exciting around Adam. Whenever you talk to him, there's something amazing happening. You were walking, weren't you?
Well, here's what happened. And then we're talking about Sharon Osbourne. I'll tell you that right now. Here's the thing. I go to this car wash, and some car washes, like if you have your car and the antenna's not motorized or where it doesn't go, they'll like unscrew it. Mm-hmm. They'll take stuff off, you know, so it doesn't get knocked off or whatever. Well, this car wash, it's just like one of these things. They unscrew my antenna on my car, and they put it in the driver's seat, in the passenger seat. And, of course, naturally, no one would think to put it back on.
Right.
But I'm handy, so I just put it on myself. So I go across the street, and I'm filling up on gas, and I start to screw it on, and I get distracted by something. Go back, so the thing's just hanging there.
Uh-oh.
Then I start driving home, and I realize the radio reception's not so great in the car. And then I think the antenna's fallen off on the street somewhere.
It fell off.
I had it setting on there, and it fell off. And then so first I get angry at me, then I get angry at the car. Wash guy, and then I get angry at me again for not screwing it on, and then I double back and I go, all right, it's out in the street, I'm gonna find it. Now I'm driving around looking for it, trying to drive and look for my lost black antenna, which is out in the street somewhere about a half mile from where I am to the gas station. Finally find it right when Drew calls, pull the car over on a busy street, start walking out into the intersection to go pick it up, and the guy's turning right and he honks at me.
What I hear is hey D, the light's green.
Yeah,
look at the light.
Well, I had a crosswalk.
What are you yelling at?
The guy honked at me.
Can you say the D word on radio?
Can't say Dick.
No.
Oh, I think you can.
Anyway, call him. He goes, "Hey, look at the light."
Hey, Anderson, can you say the D word?
Yeah, say Dick all night.
Yeah, okay. Say Dick all night.
He goes, "Hey, Dick, look at the light. It's green. It's going with me." And then you, I imagine you like raising your hand at him. Ah!
Well, the guy honked at me when I was going across the crosswalk, and he was turning right.
How dare he do that to
you? Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: his signal's red, or his signal's green. My do walk, you know, come on and walk thing is green.
But if you're on the other end of the phone, you're interested in now. Well, what just happened? What did he do? What did he do when you yelled at him like that?
He's a pussy. He didn't do anything. Let me tell you something. 99% of people, you just yell at him, and you scare the crap out of him, and they just keep driving. I size that wuss.
What'd the guy look like?
I look like a wuss. And then then the next car that drove by yelled, "Love line sucks," and the guy...
No!
Yeah, I gave the guy the finger.
And all this time, you're still on the phone to Drew.
I'm still on the phone with Drew, and I'm trying to retrieve my antenna out of the street. Yeah, that's that was so funny. Yeah, well, I didn't yell anything at him. He got out of range. I just have to give him the finger. Thank God for that finger.
Thank God. Oh, my God.
All right. Germany or Florida? This game is sweep. Sharon, I don't want to rub salt in the wound, but if you guys had picked up on Germany or Florida on the Sharon Osbourne show, you would get picked up for another season. I mean it. It is that good. All bizarre evil emanates from either Germany or Florida, and we're going to find out. We're going to guess. Is it Germany or Florida? Go ahead, Nicole.
A woman and a male friend face prosecution for human trafficking after they put the woman's daughter up on an auction site starting at the price of $1.20. Mm-hmm. A photograph of the 8-year-old child was posted by the man who who later told the police he had placed the offer to test the online auction system. The senior prosecutor investigating the case said both the man, 35, and the mother, 41, faced charges of attempted child trafficking. Three people made offers for the child at the bidding price reached $30 bucks. And 25 cents.
Well, everyone loves the $3 for this stuff.
Wow. Went up $30.
Yeah, $30.25 before the item was removed after being online 3 to 4 hours before the company pulled it.
Well, it wasn't the company. The police got it, as I understood.
So, yeah. Drew, you
I've
know
heard
this story.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then you're out of the running, yes?
Okay. I did not know it was one of these said locations, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you don't know?
But I do know it's a particular country, though, so.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Huh?
So take myself out of it.
All right. All right. You think this happened in Germany or Florida, Sharon?
Florida.
Sounds like Florida to me, too.
Ooh.
Who said particular country? I'm going Florida.
All right.
Definitely.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's Germany.
Oh.
Bastards.
That's smart.
And by the way, the reason I said particular country, I was thinking U.S.
Oh.
I thought it happened in Florida.
Well, I'm sure it's happening all over, but this happened in Germany.
Well, I'll tell you, when the Floridians catch wind of this, there will be a lot of copycats.
I swear
stuff
it was a U.S. thing.
Well, maybe it happened here, too.
It was three bids and the police got it, I heard.
All right. All right, well, that's why, all right. Oh, we got a question for Sharon, by the way. Laura?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Nothing. I had a question for Sharon. First of all, Sharon, I love you. I love yourself.
Thank you, Laura.
What is it like living in a house that's totally insane?
Totally insane?
Yeah. The house is crazy.
Do you know what, Laura? I don't know how to live any other way. I've been doing it so long. I don't know. And I don't think we're insane. I think we're normal because that's the way I've always lived. So to me, it's normal.
Well, yeah. That's awesome. Actually, I love it. I absolutely love watching you guys.
Thank you very much.
But that is always Adam and Sharon's point, is that Ozzy was working class stiff, right? Or lived in that kind of neighborhood and made good.
Right.
And he's sort of every man with success.
Yeah, he is, and it's never changed him. I mean, he doesn't pretend to be something he's not, and he's very working class, and that's what I admire about him. And a lot of people who make a success for themselves and also come into money think that they have to behave in a certain way, and he never has.
No, he never has. He seems simple. I mean, it seems like when he's not working, he wants to putter about the house, watch his shows, get his exercise in, eat his food, and that he doesn't seem like a taskmaster around the house.
He really isn't, and he's not an extravagant man, and he's not looking to go out and socialize and be seen in the right places and whatever.
Right.
He's a very simple working class
man.
But
what would you say are his hobbies, if not, touring, performing? You eliminate that. We'll just call that work. Recording, all that stuff. Is there a sport he has?
No, he's not into sports at all, but he loves his painting and he loves history.
Oh, really?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, he's
particular kind of history?
Yeah, he's obsessed with First and Second World War.
Smart man.
Yeah.
So saw a whole thing on the History Channel tonight about human missiles, the kamikazes.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Germans, Yeah, the manned stuff. Oh, yeah. We can't judge. Both great cultures, fantastic cultures, but they were willing to make human missiles out of, their people. We never did that over here, but we can't judge. We cannot judge. We can't judge.
Can't.
Let me just say this real quickly. Following that was a little something on the Bataan Death March and building, the bridge over the River Kwai or whatever. And it's basically like this. One out of every three English prisoners died. And one out of every four Australian prisoners died. And these are the Japanese, basically
camps.
Labor camps. 50-50 with the Asian culture, Chinese or whoever else they'd captured. Half of them died. And it's just no medical, no nutrition at all, just constant beatings and tortures, and basically worked malnourished prisoners until they died. and then they just burnt. It was a constant fire of bodies. They're just constantly burning bodies. Great culture. We can't judge. We're just as bad as they are. Really? That's it? They're allowed to just work everyone to death until they die, and they're fine. We're cool with them. And then we are prisoners. We don't do that, too. But we're just as bad. We're just the same. We can't judge. Really? Don't you think you can judge by how a culture treats or how a country treats their prisoners of war during wartime? Isn't that a pretty good way to
hey,
to
you
judge
should talk
civility?
To Ozzy about this. Ozzy always says he's very, very wary of the Japanese because he says now they bow and they're all over polite, and he says that, you know, you
poise
cannot
for a comeback.
Them. Yeah, he's very wary of the Japanese, and, you know, of course, a lot of Europeans he's very wary of.
Yeah, good. He's smart.
Yeah.
He knows what it's like.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying we can't judge. They just would work people until they died. That's all. That's all. Just work them until they fell over and just burn their bodies. Right? Well, were we doing a lot of that?
No.
We're going to get people calling now. We're going to get a bunch of people calling now. We incinerated 100,000 in Nagasaki.
No. Okay. No, they're not going to say that.
Yes, we will.
Why?
Well, yes.
No, they won't. Listen. First off, okay. Okay, here's the thing. They would have done that to us in a second. And then listen, here's the deal, everybody. Hey, don't go find the biggest guy in your school, run up behind him and sock him in the back of the head and run. If you don't think he's going to come after you and kick your ass one day by any means possible, that's what he did. Yeah, you F around, you get burnt. That's how it goes. You hear that, countries? You don't F around, because when you do, we come back and we kick your ass. Number one. Number two, these guys were ready to just start human waving stuff. I mean, it would have been millions and millions dead. I mean, what we went through just in the Japanese islands, just trying to get an airbase close enough to drop the atomic bomb on those guys. Hundreds of thousands of people dying in human waves. And guys fighting in caves, never coming out. They just wear nothing. What? Did those guys have to wear diapers when they fought all the time? Every guy's in a diaper. Are Japanese ever one of them? Don't you got any shorts?
Where did this come from?
They fight in a diaper.
Let it go.
Did you see? Ozzy will back me up. Every time they're pulling them out of one of those caves on Okinawa, they're in a diaper.
It's so long.
Here's the
primitive
point.
Man surviving in the wilderness.
Here's the point. They were going to tell their people that the Americans were just bloodthirsty savages that were going to rape and pillage and everything, and everyone would grab a pitchfork and fight to the death. Yeah. Would have been millions killed. Yeah. As it is, 50,000 here. That's pretty light compared to what it would have been. All right. And
Jordan, the country of Jordan almost lost 80,000. You hear about this terrorist attack they thwarted?
What happened?
We'll talk about it during the break.
True.
I'll read you. Yeah.
All right.
80,000. They thought there were 140,000 injuries and 80,000 deaths in an attack they just thwarted.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Sharon Osbourne here. Want to talk history. We'll take a quick break. In a diaper they fought, Drew.
In a diaper.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sharon Osbourne is here tonight. Let me say this.
Say this.
Drew always tells me genetic diversity, that's the strength, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's, when you take a black guy and a white chick and you get them together, it's a whole different kind of movie, too. It's called, I can't remember what they call it. It's like a hot chocolate thing or something. But the point is, that kid, that's what you need. You need the diversity.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know what makes this country great? We're all mutts.
Yeah, yeah.
See?
Everybody.
And whenever they see, you know, you watch these World War II, because Sharon got me going here with Ozzy, sits around and watch the History Channel. I wouldn't mind coming by, me and Ozzy sit around and watch the History Channel together.
Oh, you would have a blast, let me tell you.
Yeah, because I know, you got the young kids, they don't want to sit around with Dad and watch the History Channel, but the Ace Man, I'll come right over there. I'll sit right down on that sofa and we'll move.
I'll tell him.
You won't stop talking, though, either.
How dare you, Anderson?
Springs will start growing into your tush.
Yeah. I become part of the sofa.
Yeah.
So you don't think that the Aryan race is interesting, Adam?
I find it fascinating, but think about it. That is like the French poodle that dies at 7 years old, whereas America is like that mutt that goes on till 16, 17 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Mutts are much more interesting.
And it's stronger. And it's, you know, think about what this country, you know, when you go to battle with this country, you go battle with the best from all the countries. You got to think about it that way. Yes?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, why not?
But you're certainly battling. You're not battling just white folks. You know what I mean?
Diverse. Listen, your Krauts want to kick the Jews out? Fine, we'll get them over here. We'll make a rocket. I mean, that's how it works, right? Bring them on. Come on. We'll take all the smart ones, the strong ones. Bring them all over here, and then we'll get them together, and we'll come back and kick your ass. And think about it. That's what's going on. Genetic diversity, Drew.
Yes, yes.
That's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, don't you think that would hold true for countries?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right.
No. I'm disagreeing. All right.
Quiet down. Nikki?
Nikki?
Hello?
Yes. You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. I'd say probably about like October, I got diagnosed with genital herpes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my boyfriend had gone down on me when he said that he thought he had a cold sore. I didn't see anything, so I thought it would be okay. Mm-hmm. And after that, I had a breakout. Mm-hmm. And since then, nothing happened to me. Like, I haven't had another breakout since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my aunt about it, and she gets frequent cold sores. And she told me that the same situation happened with her and her husband, that she had gone down on him, and
you talked to your aunt.
Yeah.
Let me say this: aunts get into some pretty heavy ass with their nieces, not their nephews, but the.
Thankfully,
the
my wife has no sisters.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's always the crazy horny one who's like pull him aside and start talking to him about fingering and oral. And I'm telling you, it's gonna happen, Drew. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, she told me that she had gone down on him, and he also had a breakout from it.
And oral.
Pardon me?
She had a breakout in her mouth?
Yeah, she had a breakout in her mouth, and she had gone down on him, and mm-hmm. he ended up getting a genital breakout, too.
Mm-hmm. You know your Uncle Stan? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Stan, come here. Stan, tell him what happened. Oh, my God. I would just light myself on fire like a Buddhist protesting the war. If any of my family begins to even start talking about anything below the waist, I would just run out screaming.
So Nikki, and so she mentioned this to you, and?
Yeah, and I guess the doctor had told him that he's never going to get it again because it was a different form of genital herpes.
All genital herpes tends to be recurrent. Some people get lucky, and the recurrences are very rare, and they sort of burn themselves out rather readily.
No doctor ever says you're never going to get this again,
that's
either.
No way.
About anything.
Yeah. No way he could have said that if it were herpes. In fact, if it doesn't recur, the diagnosis is highly questionable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then she told her about anal warts. One time, her and they were going back door.
Oh, this is your aunt again?
Aunt again.
And Stan?
Yeah. You know, you stand out by the barbecue, you've had a couple of wine coolers, you loosen up. You start talking. It's family. All right, Nikki, how old is your aunt? She older than you?
She's 32.
Yeah, sometimes you get these aunts where they're almost the same age as the kid, and then that's a weird one. All right. And is she still together with your uncle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do you guys consider yourselves white trash?
No.
No. Okay. Well, they never do. Okay, baby doll. Well, what should she do? I don't have an answer. She was telling so much about her family. I don't know.
What was the question?
So she got herpes.
Yes,
or
she
something.
Got herpes. Yes.
All right. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She should consider herself infectious. She can reduce that risk by taking medication every day if she wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Practice safe sex, condoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what do they take the medication every day so she doesn't have a breakout?
It reduces the risk of viral shedding.
All right. Anything new? I haven't seen any new commercials where the chicks are kickboxing.
Yeah.
And they're... No. Whenever I see it, you know, there are these commercials where the chick's doing her own thing. It's always something. Vagina's been liberated now. something. It's like she's kickboxing, she's out on a date. They never tell you what it is.
Riding horses.
Yeah, like women must know what it is because I'm always watching, going, what's going on? What is this chick doing?
Freedom.
Yeah, yeah. It's always got something to do with the vagina when they've been liberated that way. All right, let's. Was five years abuse relationship?
We're gonna take a break.
No?
Yeah. Break.
All right. Who are we gonna talk to when we come back? Janice?
We'll see.
Drew doesn't like Janice. Danielle?
Janice is all right. Janice is the best thing that's up there right
Ooh.
Now.
Ooh. What about Danielle with her crazy zealot religious folks there, huh?
Okay. All right.
Homeschooled.
Mm-mm.
Oh. That is child abuse. You get this crazy religious parents and you
can't
get
out. Salt Lake
City. She says
St. Louis.
We'll take a quick break. Sharon Osbourne's here. We'll be right back. Love Life, Fast Grown Outlaw Radio, North America. Oh, yeah. 722, 22 after 7:30 and away from top of the hour. Sharon Osbourne hanging in the studio, the queen of darkness herself. God bless you. Welcome to the show there, Sharon. I tell you, you got to look for the Ozman coming out of the Ozfest. He's going to be back in full force coming out of the theater. You coming out starting July. Full rehab. That's
all.
I got to tell you what I'm going to say. If it's doing any better, I would have it. The law wouldn't allow it. Sharon Osbourne, foxy lady. I tell you what, hair's looking good. Looking real good. I tell you, this man loves the hair. Say hi to Osman. That's one of those DJ BS DJ moves. You know, it's like Ozzy Osbourne has no idea who you are. Tell the Osman, the H man says, what's up? Tells he still owes me a sixer. Hey, Drew, what do we got? Get your phone. 724-24 after 7 o'clock. I always love it when they say hi about people, obviously. You know? Say, tell Ozzy, the H-Man said hi, and then any other cool people you run into, tell the H-Man said hi. Okay? Yeah. I'll drop Trow, too.
No, don't drop Trow.
I'll do
he will,
it.
He'll
I'll
do it.
Drop
Trow. He'll do it. He'll do it.
722, 22, up 7 o'clock. We ready to have any fools here, but I'm saying?
Yeah, a little bit.
Sharon's got some little DVD coming out of my Osbournes. You know, I got to tell you, the thing I was talking about the Osbournes, dude. There was a... Sharon comes home. Sharon's like, what is going on? Jack's like, oh, what's up? And Ozzy's like, how am I? 722, 22, after 7 o'clock. All right, Sharon Osbourne hanging in the studio tonight. Tell the Osman, the H-Man says hi. Okay, what I say?
Come sure by. Thing.
Dude, come out and bring some of them burritos. Watch the History Channel together, you know what I'm saying?
Watch the Japs, huh?
I tell you, I was over at the Osbourne home just a couple of weeks back. Well, it seems like it was going to be last Christmas time. It was Jack, man. Shoot a little something in the Osbourne kitchen. I tell you, it was a good time, Drew. They're funny. Had to see it. Had to be there. I tell you what. 722, 22, 7 o'clock. Sharon Osbourne is here tonight. We're going to hop back with the foes. We got Danielle over there. Sharon's going to be going heading back over the pond, over there, on the English way over there. There's some TV shows over there. We got the Osbourne DVDs coming out. This is May 4th. This is coming out. And you catch more of the Osbourne. Tell Ozzy I said hi. Well, he'll know who I'm talking about. Ask if he remembers Reno. He'll know what I'm talking about. What, he's got to be coming on Kimmel next week?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Sharon Osbourne, coming on. Hey, if you see Kimmel, tell the H-Man said hi. Huh? Hey, if you see your husband and Kimmel, tell the H-Man said hi and hi. Okay? Yeah. Right, and so, you're going to be on Kimmel. You're going to be on Leno Wednesday. Tell Leno H-Man said hi. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Is
about.
This all promotion for the DVD?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Man.
Ah, good times.
Drew thinks he's on the wave. It's amazing listening coming up. Super set about class.
No, I would never think of that. Never mistake this for the wave. No, no.
All right. No, no. True. Is that an E-flat? Right.
Go.
All right, let's go. True,
let's
yeah.
Let's go.
Drew, you ready?
What?
Hey, come on, do your DJ. Do a classical DJ.
No, no, no.
Come on. You must know some Chopin or something like that. Come on. Vivaldi.
I can't think of how they do it.
No, they speak in very hushed tones. Yeah. All right.
I'm still waiting to hear the lady from St. Louis.
That's who's coming up.
Danielle.
Hello. Yes, thank
14?
You, Sharon, for reminding them.
Damn, how dare you.
Hey, Amber, stage five. Amber, stage five. Show me a free businessman's lunch. Coming up with a Japanese stories.
That was Vivaldi.
See, there you
spring.
Go. There you go.
That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard on radio.
What is? What? All right, go ahead, baby doll.
Hey, yeah. I'm having a lot of trouble with my family lately just because about a year ago, my dad lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been really depressed. And a couple years ago, I left school and became homeschooled because I was suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And my family's always been very religious. And
wait, they brought you home because you were suicidal?
Yeah.
that doesn't make
the
sense.
School, no. I was constantly getting hurt and...
What do you mean getting hurt?
I'm clumsy and I have just a tendency to fall down the stairs.
Really? No.
I was really stressed out and having a lot of trouble.
Why?
Just home issues piled on to school issues, piled on...
Yeah, okay, here's the deal. This is our point, is that the real source of the trouble was at home. And so them pulling you home just must have intensified things.
Well, I really hated school.
I'm sure. That doesn't mean it wouldn't be a better place for you.
Yeah.
At the time, I considered it better that I was going home. And
what was going on at home at the time?
I was learning nothing at school.
What was going on at home at the time?
At the time, it's always been very hectic around my house, but...
Did you feel that somehow you needed to be home to keep things kind of together at home?
I needed just time to recoup. I was on the pushing edge. I couldn't take much more of anything at the moment.
All right, so the question now is you're home and you're being homeschooled?
Yeah, which I do like very much.
All right.
Because I make a lot of friends and they're better influences than the type of people I met at normal school.
Sure. Your friends,
and,
what come in that Animal Crackers box?
Oh yeah, little friends.
All the little friends.
Yeah.
You have your friends.
Sit up the little circus wagon.
Yeah, and you talk.
No, I have normal friends. In fact, I have friends that are gays or potheads or whatever.
Really?
Yes.
Mom brings them in during career day, or how's
I have friends that are hardcore Christian punk group. Now that's cool.
Yeah. All right. Until you
awesome
get
people.
Okay. So what's up?
What's
so
the
you're
question?
Doing okay. You're at home. You're doing homeschooling.
My dad
your mom's
to move, and I was suicidal a couple years ago, and I've changed a lot, and I've have more friends now. I had one friend at the time.
Where does he want to move?
Up to a small town in Michigan.
Why does he want to move there?
To start a ministry.
Uh-oh.
He wants to start a Bible college.
Hold on a second, Drew. Quick question. When you're home, Sharon, too, when you're homeschooled and you move, do you have to actually move the living room with you? Do you have to take the class, or wherever you land becomes your new school? I'm unclear on that.
That's a good question, because you have to bring the home school.
Yeah. It must be nice, though, because everybody I talk to, whenever they talk about moving, it's all about the school district and the kids and whether they're going to move, the schools are crappy here. But when you're homeschooling, that's it.
So the bottom line is he's leaving for kind of goofy reasons, and she doesn't want to leave the friends that she's finally been able to establish.
I feel
which
so,
is understandable.
Listen, and how many times have I said it? When are we going to start looking at this sort of religious zealotry as a mental disorder? You know what I mean? We're so busy respecting it. We got to start looking at it as what it is, which is a mental disorder. You have a personal relationship with some ghost that lives in the sky. I think I'm Napoleon, so I'm nuts. You're perfectly fine. You're gonna start preaching the gospel and move and hit the road show and everything. Somehow we're supposed to look up to that or respect that. You're just as nutty as anybody else, you screwballs with your crazy religion. And now what you're doing is you're abusing your child. You really are.
Why can't you do this in St. Louis? Why do you have to go to Michigan?
Or why can't you wait a little while?
Well,
he probably has a bunch of warrants in St. Louis.
Don't have money.
Why don't you grab
his job?
What was it? What kind of work was he doing?
Keep our house.
What kind of work was he doing?
He was a computer engineer. He was laid off.
Oh, yeah.
How does he plan to establish this school?
I have a large number of siblings.
How many?
Five.
Well, they're all homeschooled?
There's Ham, Ezekiel.
Five younger brothers. We cannot afford to stay here.
All right, so you're moving.
In a nice house, an expensive house in the suburbs.
Okay. Hey, Danielle. Look, just quiet and listen to me.
Yeah?
You're 14, baby doll. You mm-hmm. sound like just the world's tensest housewife at 14.
Maybe she can graduate early from homeschool or college.
That's yeah. actually possible.
How about you sneak in your mom's closet and steal your diploma and get out at 14?
I have to finish four courses in each subject.
But why don't you really work your tail off and get it all done as fast as you can and get out of there to school?
True, I could do that, but then I'd have to go to college. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The thing is, I have recovered from a severe depression because I've found new friends, which I never had. I was never popular. I never had
right. Yeah, but Danielle, you've made it clear, no matter what, you're moving. It's impossible to stay where you are because of the financial situation makes it impossible.
What about staying behind? This happens a lot.
A lot.
It does. A surprising
Where do they stay?
Amount. She moves in with one of her friends. It
I don't
happens.
Have one that'll take me in. I don't have any good friends, really.
Well, then what do you want me to do?
You don't have any good friends. You just know. Finished telling us you have these great friends you can't stand
I
leaving.
I have more friends than I've ever had in my life. I was right. the person that was
Does
always...
Does one of them have a futon in their garage?
What?
All right, listen. I don't like Danielle because she's angry as all hell.
You can't blame her, though.
I know. She's got those horrible, abusive... okay, here's all I'm saying. First off... Hey, Daniel, there's nothing you can do. I'm sorry. You got a bad hand dealt to you. Your dad's a nut bar. And when are we going to start attacking religion and making fun of it?
Well, you started, so.
I've been going, doing this goddamn thing for years, and no one will listen to me. We have to be so respectful. Oh no, the Muslims, no, they're great. No, they're wonderful people. I mean, they're wonderful. They're great. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. We such reverence. Oh, hey, here's a man I respect. He follows his faith. These are weak nut jobs. It says, look, have your faith. Fine. Shut up about it. I don't want to know what you are. Wacky Jehovah's and screwed up born-agains and the crazy Hasidim.
I don't understand what she was saying. Her father's a minister, but he was a computer
He's
operator.
Not a minister.
How
He's...
do you become a yeah. minister?
Oh, listen, you can do it over the internet.
Yeah.
Can you?
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Probably got S-can because the guys at work are tired of him sharing the good news and speaking in tongues.
But the point they're leaving St. Louis no matter what. They can't afford to stay there. She needs to come to terms with that. She needs to graduate from the homeschool as fast as possible to get off to college. That's it, period.
Danielle is
she's
in...
spinning. Her thing is... She goes, well, then I'll have to go off to college. That's right. You go off to college. Well, I can't leave my friends. We'll stay back with your friends. Well, I don't have any good friends. Well, it's just spinning.
And then you said, I thought you didn't have any friends. Yeah. And she said, I have 50 friends.
Yeah. So, look, you've had for best group of friends you've had so far. You will find another group of friends where you're going. It's painful. It's traumatic. Yes, but it's reality. Yeah, you have to do it.
At 14, you think that that's all that's important. But
I would hire a drifter to kill my dad. That's what I would do.
And you've tried that a number of times.
You're going to heaven, Pops. What are you worried about? You're just sitting there hanging out with the Lord. The streets are paved with gold. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, I know. That makes perfect sense.
You got a VIP pass.
Yeah, you'll be living in his mansion. It'll be great. Yeah, you'll be reunited with your dog from the sixth grade. It'll be great. Oh, perfect sense. Perfect sense. No one can say anything about this bizarre fantasy we've whipped up. No, such reverence. Oh, he's a man of deep faith. Oh, I appreciate all the present. No, he's seeking counsel with us. He's always serious. There's a picture of him coming out of church. Really? Really? Nobody stops and questions and says anything? What percentage of people really buy this? Do we really? I don't really think that many people do. And I'll tell you how I know. Because they get so pissed off when you tell them about it. If you have your deep faith, fine. Just take it with you and shut up. But if someone brings it up, they get all violent
people
about it.
People feel like you're attacking their family. They feel like
they're idiots.
Closeness to that.
Well, let's face it. Her dad has is mentally unstable. Well, why can't we just look at it as that? Why do we have to respect it? You hear voices. If you hear voices, you got a problem. But if you hear the voice of God, well, you're fine. Really? Are you just some grandiose idiot who's got a mental disability? It's just grandiosity, Drew. That's all it is. Janice?
Yeah, hi.
I'm, as an atheist, I'm just tired of having to be reverent to everybody and go along
I've
with
told
everything.
You, I'm working on a new book, and this next book, I'm trying to figure out what the common threads are of people's spiritual experiences in recovery and, you know, losing weight and things. What gets people to do that? Is there a common thread? And I know in addiction, certainly spirituality becomes a key part of that. And what are the common experiences in that?
All right. Be so spiritual. Just shut up. Shut up. I don't want to know what you are. I don't want to know what you are.
It's a personal thing.
Yeah,
it's
personal.
It's so personal.
That's right. Keep it all inside, yeah. Everybody. Keep it all inside. Oh, stupid. Oh, and then they start getting in these Muslim religions, and this whole thing's a mess. People are all idiots. It's laughable. Janice?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. What's up?
Are you a Mormon?
I'm a Jew.
One, two from Anderson.
I'm 25. Yeah. I have one child.
One quick thing, real fast. What's going on over there in Israel?
Yeah.
West Bank, and Gaza Strip and all. They're going to have that worked out in just a couple of days. What day is it, Drew? Is it Monday?
It should be done by Friday.
By the weekend. I mean, I think by Saturday we'll be in full swing. So I'm saying we'll be putting the finishing touches on it Friday late afternoon.
Of course.
Just a couple of days. I mean, we got to be coming to the end of it, right? I mean, just a couple, right? Sure, maybe Wednesday. Sure, right? You guys are, everything's cool. You guys are sane. You don't really want any trouble. Yeah, okay. They got great respect. Great respect for both groups. Great respect. Janice? Yeah, they get off. They're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's. That's this weekend, for sure.
Janice, 25.
Yes.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, I'm 25. I have one child. I'm just finishing up my law degree. I was in an abusive relationship with a man who is 10 years older. I've been out of it for about a year and a half. And in the relationship, I was called names and verbally abused a lot. And it started turning physical right at the end. I wasn't hit that much just as the relationship was ending, and I got out of it. I got out of it through prayer. Sorry, Adam, but God is real.
All right. Well, look.
Just hold on.
Rub a rock. What do I care?
Okay. God brought someone into my life that was able to get me out of it. And my
That's
question
good. Why,
is...
Why did he let the guy beat on you?
I wasn't hit that much.
All right. So God said, just give Janice a light beating. Don't teach her a real lesson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I know. God said, look, work the midsection a little. Hit her with an open hand, but not a close
fist. I hadn't asked.
No, you didn't ask for God's help.
I got out of it as soon as I turned to God and started praying.
Oh, by the way, you're going to law school.
What do you think, Adam? Do you think you created yourself? Are you just a body? There's no spirit.
How do you think your dog got here?
Answer my question.
What? It's just a biological organism. It just
okay,
it just
gonna
gets
make
created.
Two points, and then I want to hear from Dr. Jubilee.
First off, you're not in law school. You're way too stupid.
You're not. Okay. Can I please talk?
Go ahead.
For over now. Okay. Two points. First of all, for anyone else who's considering suicide, I've been suicidal. I'm not anymore. If you kill yourself, you take the pain with you because it's your spirit that's in pain, not the body.
You go to hell.
Suicide doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah, you go to hell. But if you're Muslim, then you go to heaven. So, you know, you got to figure it out.
I'm just saying, as a spirit, it's your spirit that's in pain when you're suicidal, not the body. If you kill the body, you're going to take that pain with you. You got to heal it while you're here, while you have the chance.
Yeah, because everyone's a spirit.
The question I have for Dr. Zhu is, as I'm reflecting back on that relationship, I'm having a hard time understanding how I got in it and why I stayed so long.
Well, God was testing you.
Well, let's just talk about depression for a second. Depression is a biological process in your brain that can be reversed with medication. So that needs to be treated. And that if you have severe depression, that needs to be dealt with, okay?
I don't anymore.
Yeah. Number two, people that get involved in abusive relationships, there's a number of ways that people find themselves into that. Usually they're trauma survivors themselves, and they find somebody that they feel is sort of strong and a protector. But that person usually is also the one with the capability of being an abuser, and eventually you reenact the abuse of the past. Our brains are configured in such a way that when we're traumatized, we go back out into the world and recreate the trauma over and over again. Yeah. It's a biological process.
I'll tell you how God planned it. If your dad raped you when you're five, then you get raped as an adult. That's that was God's plan. It's interesting.
Well, whatever. Whatever plan it is.
It's God's plan, obviously. We just can't question it. He had a plan. He calls it the rape plan. It's so you got to look into it.
Anyway, so
but
what happened?
He has a plan.
What happened to you, Janice, growing up?
My dad died when I was 8. He committed suicide.
Was he an alcoholic?
No.
Why'd he kill himself?
I don't know. Depression.
All right.
And was he with your mom at the time? I mean, were they together?
No, they got divorced.
And why'd they get divorced?
I'm not sure.
Why don't you look into all that? I think you'll find your answers about why you got in an abusive relationship. I think you'll find your dad was abusive. I think you'll find he was an alcoholic. And there you go. That'll be your answers to all why. The amazing thing about the human is that things that happen to us early have a extraordinarily disproportionate influence on everything else that is to follow. It leaves an imprint on our biology that we cannot naturally find our way out of without treatment.
All right.
So how do you undo that as an adult?
You gotta pray.
Treatment. You gotta get therapy.
All right, pray for therapy. Let's compromise, yes?
Prayer can be useful in these things.
Sure.
They can be, actually.
Listen,
whatever it is, Adam, it can be useful.
Absolutely. I'm even focus on something and do it. Yeah, the Buddhists. They're smart. They chant on stuff.
Hey, and Adam, get to work on that GED, okay, Adam?
I wonder where she's going. She's not going to law school, by the way. No way.
You're working on your GED. Tell the truth.
No.
Keep working on it. Thank you.
All right, baby doll. All right. Here's the thing. The Buddhists, they're smart. Because the Buddhists tell you, look, if you want a color TV set, you just chant on it. You just chant. You want a car? You want a new job? You want a wife?
Nam-myo-renge-kyo.
You sit down for an hour every day in front of your
Kohansen.
And you rub, and you just sit there and you go, Nam-myo-renge-kyo, Nam-myo-renge-kyo.
You got that habit?
Yeah, TV. You start thinking about TV. Well, yeah, if you sit down and, I mean, everyone should do this. Like, look, you want a new job? Sit down for an hour every day and focus on getting a new job. You will get a new job that much faster. I guarantee it. Mm. The alternative is you never thinking about getting a new job. You're not going to get a new job that fast. Or a TV. Drew, don't you think if you sat down and took a half hour and chanted on getting a new set of tires for your car?
Might help.
It would help, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm all for it. Prayer, too. I think it helps. All right. Sharon Osbourne is here today. Atheist? Agnostic?
I don't know what the hell I am.
Good.
I'm just me.
That's right.
Are you a Mormon?
True.
Can you accept that perhaps for some of these people, some of this is a way of accessing, you know, a subconscious emotional system, and maybe even there's a common thread amongst us as humans are tapping into with this?
I'm fine with everyone's personal spirituality.
Yeah, I just don't want to hear about it.
I don't like it when the president has to pretend to be religious.
You don't like when there are wars because of it.
I don't like when there's wars because of it, and I don't like the fact that we have to respect the hell out of the, you know, crazy Jews and the crazy Arabs over there and pretend like everyone's doing something very noble when they're just they're brainwashed and idiots.
Has there ever been a war that wasn't about religion?
Let's see.
Come on.
Had no religion had nothing to do with it?
Yeah.
Well, it's usually
the cultural base.
It's always down to religion.
Yeah. I just wish everyone could just keep the pie hole shut about the religion and go about their goddamn day. That's all.
It's like whatever makes you happy, do it. Keep your mouth shut.
That's right. Want to go home, talk to your kids about it? Fine. I don't want to know what team you're playing for by your uniform.
Let's go hang out with Ozzy and watch World War I films.
Yeah, I like two. Hey, if you go see the Ice Man?
Oh, yes.
Tell the Ace Man.
Oh, yeah.
Right, tell him Ace said hi.
Ace. I'll remember Ace.
Reno, 97, man. I tell you, she'll owes me a sixer of Mickey's. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew, Sharon Osbourne in studio tonight. The Osbournes DVD is going to be released on May 4th. All right. Now,
is that just the first season or first two seasons? Or?
No,
oh,
it's
no.
got to be
it's,
like the
it's
third.
It's the third.
Right?
Everything.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the third. So there have been two previously released.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's quite a an industry these days. I mean, TV shows on DVD.
Mm.
It didn't used to exist. It was sort of, well, you get a movie on DVD, but now they're selling, I don't know how many they sold of the first and second season. I'm guessing quite a few units.
Quite a few, yeah. We did good.
And then, like, you know, Family Guy was real successful. The Man Show actually sold, not that we've seen any of the money yet, because, you know, why should we? We only created the show. But
it's in the post.
I'm sure it's coming.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's in the mail, but someone told me 200,000 units of the first season.
Good, good times.
Yeah, good times, Drew. For all the lovely people out there. All right. This guy got tasered. I want to talk to the taser guy real fast. Jeff?
What's going on?
You're 22?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
You got tasered by the cops?
Yeah, I have a question for Dr. Drew. After it happened, I've been a little, like, angry and, I've been hearing voices and I haven't been able to sleep well afterwards. Is that from the tasering, or?
What do you mean you're hearing voices?
Yeah, like, you know, I hear things that usually you don't hear, you know, out of the ordinary.
Yeah, like, step out of the car, put the knife down.
Are people saying things to you in these voices? Can you make them out?
It's just, like, mumbling in my ear.
And have you had voices ever before?
Never.
Why did you get tasered by the cops?
Okay, the story is, I was walking from a friend's house, and I guess three blocks up the street, a house burned down, and they said that I set it on fire because I robbed it. And the point was...
Did you rob it?
Oh, no, I was on the opposite street, on the opposite side of town, but I had happened to be walking on the same street.
Mm-hmm.
So, They pulled me over, well, whatever you want to say. They stopped me. And I told them, no, I didn't do it. And so there was a little altercation. And, you know, I'm a big guy, so there was a little wrestling going on there. And so they shot me about four times with the gun.
Why did you get into it? Why'd you mix it up with the cops? Why didn't you just say, I don't know what you're talking about, I didn't do it?
I did, but they automatically put hands on me.
All right, well, let them do it, whatever. Who cares? You didn't do it.
Point, it's already too late for that anyways, but...
Yeah. But the point is, were you on drugs or something? Made you so
we can't live in the past.
Yeah.
No. But the, someone's asking...
Maybe if you prayed about it.
And what kind of taser? The ones with the wires that are attached to it? The barbs on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been hit with one of those, too.
Mm.
Well, not hit, but I had one tested out on me. It's freaky deaky, man.
Really?
It's weird.
Put you down.
If it doesn't put you down, you'd like to go down.
Mm.
Did you hear voices afterwards, too?
No.
Did you have trouble sleeping afterwards?
No, I've had trouble sleeping before.
I would be more thinking in terms of just having been an intense experience, and that sort of stirred you up.
Yeah.
Were you on drugs or anything when this happened?
Oh, no, I was clean.
Do you take drugs?
No.
What's the part, though?
What does it mean,
all right,
no?
All right, so listen.
You've never taken drugs?
Well, I was young, you know.
All right. Are you doing okay now, Jeff, or what's going on?
I'm just asking, you know, if it can go away or what's going on with it.
Well, let's just assume it's going to go away
if it's related to the taser, but I'm not sure it is.
Are you working?
Yeah, of course. I'm at work right now.
Oh, all right. Sorry, buddy. What are you doing?
Security.
All right, buddy. It's always funny that security are the guys most likely to get tasered when they're not doing security. All right, listen, Jeff, here's the whole thing. Everybody with the cops, you know, when they tell you to do whatever they tell you to do.
Do it.
Drew and I were talking about this the other day. Drew.
Yeah.
You get pulled over.
Yeah.
You put your hands on the wheel, 10 and 2, right?
That's right.
And if they tell you to get out of the car, what do?
Immediately get out of the car.
With the wheel.
On my hands.
That's the thing. I will actually shove my ass out of the window and pull the wheel off with me because
I'm that respectful. Or what I did, actually, I shoved my ass out there, put my legs out, and kept my hands on the wheel.
Yeah, inside of the vehicle.
Yeah.
That's it. You put, yes, sir, no, sir, I'm going. My You know, my, they tell you, like, they went in your lice. You know, if you're going for the glove box, you got to tell them. Don't screw with them.
You got to see it through their eyes. You walk up to some guy's car, they never.
That's my favorite part, like, about the show Cops. When the guys are out on the sidewalk, the perp's on the lawn. He's in his boxer shorts and a wife beater and slippers. They're yelling repeatedly, stop. And the guy keeps moving forward, waving his arms around. You know what I mean? It's like, really? Then you get shot. Then the community protests. How about we just stop this whole thing by you stopping when the cops tell you to stop? You know, cop pulls you over, says you did something. Talk to him. Ask for an attorney, perhaps. Don't start wrestling with them. So really, by the way, wrestling the cop, slightly higher percentage of working out than the I'm going to outrun the cop. And by the way, the outrun the cop stuff only works when you're on, you know, in the hills of Kentucky. You can shut your lights off kind of stuff. You know, I mean, you got to hear banjo music. Not when you start hearing like that beatbox music, you can't. You got to hear boom, 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 boom.
Outside your car.
You hear this, you outrun the cop. As a matter of fact, I'm going to sell a tape for people who want to outrun the cops with just this kind of banjo.
But it has to be outside your car, though. It can't be actually in your own car.
I think you hear it. Don't you hear it? No, you pump it in. No, you hear that, you're going to outrun the cop. But you start hearing that beatbox stuff, and now we got helicopters and spike strips. And yeah, you hear this? You ain't making it. And this is what you're hearing in Los Angeles, you see? You play the banjo again, Anderson. Now you're going to make it. You shut your lights. You go up the old Cooter Farm Road there. He goes past, and you double back and go the other way.
Jump over the pond.
The bridge is out. You got to jump it.
Yeah.
That's right. No, you don't. You jump it in your car, Anderson. You don't run out of the car. That banjo music for outrunning the cops.
It's good.
Yeah.
But still, there's something wrong that he's hearing voices and that he fights the cops. And he may need to get this evaluated. Something is wrong.
All right.
And I don't think it's the taser.
Let me say one other thing about these cops.
Yeah.
And now they pass this stuff where cops can only do these low-speed pursuits, you know. So these guys, I had one the other day. It's a couple days ago. Yeah. You see it? It was a van. It was like a white van.
Yeah,
it was three hours long. It circumnavigated the entire city. It's basically become like the Pope on a parade route. It's like, you're due 11 miles an hour. The cops keep their distance. Everyone gets out of your way. And you just drive in a circle until you run out of gas. Mm-hmm. Eventually, maybe you hit a spike strip or something. But the whole idea is, well, let's not provoke these guys. But what happens if you run over somebody 3 hours after the chase started? Like, I mean, as the parent of the kid who gets clipped by this guy... 700 miles away in Marin County because it started out here in L.A., but no one would do anything. Aren't you kind of pissed? I mean, what if you found out this thing started at noon and your kid got out of school at 3:30 and that's when he got hit? I mean, doesn't they just kind of do something when it happens? Is it the idea of sort of following them around very slowly as they serpentine through the valley in the city, is it? Should we just hop on it? Let's just sort of nip it in the bud a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. But we wouldn't want to infringe upon their rights.
Yeah. And it's like, well, something bad could happen. Well, couldn't something bad happen in the 4 hours that the chase is going on? What about something bad happening where there's the entire police force is following one drunk guy and an Astro? You know what I mean? He's got a Chevy Astro. We got the entire police. What about the bad stuff that's happening across town because all the cops and helicopters and everything are following the one drunk guy? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Sharon, you with me?
I don't know why they don't shoot the tires out on the car.
I wanted that too.
It's all, everything's like, everything is something bad could happen now as opposed to, well, something bad could happen later on. So we'll just put it off. I had I live up in the Hollywood Hills area there because it's a very elite area, Drew. And, I saw a speed chase. It went right by my house. And once you go up my street, there's only one way out of the street.
But they didn't block it.
They didn't block it off. They just followed them all the way around this sort of loop. They could have just blocked it off. This thing ended up in Northridge. Ended up in Northridge.
Such a waste of time and resource, effort. And it's just ridiculous.
And by the way, kid could have got run over in Northridge. Mm-hmm. They had the stupid thing in Hollywood contained. The guy went from, you know, Hollywood into, like, Glendale through Northridge, eventually jumped out of the car and, like, ran into some apartment building. You know, isn't there potential for bad to happen there?
Yeah.
Let's just get the bad over with. Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. I blame the attorneys and the bleeding hearts. Thank you. Question for Sharon.
Joel?
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Good.
We're good.
Hi, Sharon?
Hi, Joe.
Hi, I'd just like to say that I really enjoy your daytime talk show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I used to watch it every morning when I was out of work, and you got a good variety of guests going on there, and I just really enjoyed the show.
Thank you very much.
And I hope Ozzy's doing good.
And, he is. He's doing a lot better. Thank you.
That's good. What are your plans for the show? Like, do you enjoy doing that? Is it something like you like got into and enjoy doing?
Yeah, very much. I love doing it. I love meeting all different people, and it's been a great experience.
Oh, that's good. I got a question for Drew.
Yeah.
How do you like doing the show?
I like doing what show? Loveline?
I've gotten a Drew. Yeah, well, how do you like doing Loveline, Joel?
Oh, I think it's great. Actually, I should be your successor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, why don't we let you take, we'll let you take a call.
Okay. I can do that.
Right. Did you have a question right. first, though?
Oh, yeah. You said something. You were talking about doing another book.
Yeah.
What's it on?
Well, spirituality, probably.
All right. Boring.
Okay.
Joel, let's have you take over, because, you know, I may not be here. I'm not going to be here forever.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be honest with you. And we're going to need a successor.
Yeah, I'm pretty funny.
I know.
Yeah, I could tell.
Hey, Drew.
I could tell.
This could be your new partner. You better start kissing ass.
Respect here.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to let this one. I'm not going to let this one get it run out of control like the last one.
Yeah.
We mean kiss ass.
All right. So how do we do this? We'll put Joel on with Samantha up here.
All right. Let me work on this.
Yeah.
All right, well, Joel. We can't really do that with this system.
We can? No. I think we've done it before.
Yeah, I got you.
Give it a try.
Anderson does it.
Who do you want to put her on with?
4-1.
4-1. Joel, you talk to Samantha.
Okay, is she on right now?
No. Now she... Oh, we
Hello?
Lost Joel. Hi, Samantha. Good job, Anderson. Well done.
What did he do? Hang up on Joel?
Yeah, we're working on it. Hold on. I think he's still there.
Yeah, he's going to get him. This Joel can take over for me.
Joel?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
All right, speak to Samantha.
There she is.
Hello?
Yeah. Hi, Samantha.
Okay. Me and my boyfriend had unprotected sex today in the spa, and I'm on the pill, and I've been on the pill for, like, almost a year now, and I was wondering if it was possible if I got pregnant.
How old are you?
18.
You're 18?
Yeah.
You guys are having sex in a spa?
Yeah.
Wow, good times.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess, Drew, you'd have to feel this one.
Oh, no. Come on, Joel.
Oh, man.
Something interesting to say. Because I have something uninteresting
again?
To say. What's the question? Can't you start being the radio guy?
You gotta listen,
yeah,
Joel. Come on.
I don't think that you should take Adam's spot.
I think so. I should.
Hang up on her.
Samantha, wait.
But it's a laugh of impatience.
Samantha, here's the deal. Your concern is that somehow being in a hot tub would affect the efficacy of the pill?
Well, no, because he came inside me.
Yeah, but you're on the birth control pill.
Yeah, I know. But I didn't know if, like...
You're on the birth control pill. You're not going to get pregnant on the birth control pill... Whether you're standing on your head or whatever, or in a hot tub,
even
hot water.
All right, okay.
Well, I don't understand. I'm not sure I can even understand where that question comes from. Were you having sex with him before at all? Even though you were
yeah. But he'd never come inside me before.
What would he do? Why?
Huh?
Why?
I don't know. Because he asked.
No. Why wouldn't he before?
Oh, just because it's. Because I didn't want to get pregnant.
He's a gentleman.
You're on the birth control
pill. Yeah, where'd he blow his load?
Oh,
huh?
Joel.
Well, where would he blow his load then? Would he pull out and go on you, or are you wearing condoms, or what?
Like a napkin or something?
Samantha.
That's romantic.
Yeah, but Samantha, I understand why you don't. You're on the birth control pill, but you don't understand how it works or that it works.
Well, I missed, like, 2 pills, but not, like, consecutively.
This particular pack?
Yeah.
All right. So they're not. It's not going to be quite as effective as it might have been if you'd taken it properly.
Right. And I somehow always seem to miss my first pill, like of every pack.
And then you double
all
up?
Right. All right.
And then,
that's enough.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
All right. Listen, Joel had his chance. Joel?
He's on.
Good. All right. My job's safe. And by the way, you want to take my job, you're going to have to learn to do a little something I like to call 722. It's 22 after 7. It's 38 away from the top of the hour, straight up. Sharon Osbourne hanging tonight.
No.
Sharon, you go home to the Osman. Tell the Ace Man said hey.
Oh, how could I forget?
Tell the Ace Man said hey. Tell you what, Drew.
Yeah.
I could tell you what the Oz Man did, but I have to kill you.
Oh, no.
This close to dropping trap.
No,
I will drop,
no,
drop.
Don't do
I will
it.
Drop,
no,
drop.
He'll do it.
I'll
no,
drop
don't
it. Tell
it.
All
come
the
on, don't
I
do it.
722. 7 o'clock. You got news, weather, traffic coming up. Hey, by the way, temperatures, Drew.
Hot.
Glendale checking in at 99. Ooh. Pasadena, 99. Burbank, 99. Chatsworth, 99. Canoga Park, 99. Yeah, San Joaquin Valley coming in at 99, San Fernando, and Sunland, 99 degrees. It tastes hot all over the valley. Yeah, and by the way, yeah, no ass. Of course it. Yeah, well, no, can't tell. Like, as if I didn't hear the weather 30 times today, I wouldn't have been sweltering out in Pasadena. And by the way, I bet most people can guess within 3 degrees what the temperature is just from living on this effing planet long enough. Yeah, like, you know the difference between 70 and 75.
Yep.
And you know the difference between 95 and 100.
Yep.
Yep. And if not, what are you going to do about it? You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
All right. Sharon Osbourne here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm sweet Adam Carolla. That's the adorable Dr. Drew over there. Yeah. The lovely Sharon Osbourne is in studio tonight. We got a question for Sharon. We'll talk to Jeremy, who's 19. Jeremy?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, I got a question for Sharon.
Go on, Jeremy. I'm ready.
All right. I just got to know one thing. You know how you have the Osbourne show on MTV?
Yeah.
I just got to know one thing. How does it feel to have them cameras following you around all day?
No one has ever asked her that question. What an astute and amazing question.
Oh, true. Come on. We got a young journalist here. Leave him alone.
All right. It changes by your mood. You know, most of the time I really don't mind, but sometimes it can be really annoying and
invasive. Yeah, I see how you feel on that one.
It's
you've been there.
And most of the time, it can be very annoying.
Well, here's an interesting thing I'm starting to think of. You know, okay, so back when cameras first came out, when people would get their photographs taken, it was a big thing. I mean, mm-hmm. You get dressed up, you sit still, and they'd always put a puss on that looked sort of proud or noble, or at least very serious. This is not something to monkey with. It was sort of like airline travel when it first got going. It's like, hey, put your suit on,
put
a tie on, and straighten up.
Painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a serious, not to be taken. It wasn't frivolous. Mm-hmm. You know, the camera was not a toy. And then, you know, then they came up with the photo mats where you put the quarter in, you put your head in, you get three pictures, and you do all the crazy faces and everything. I think people are getting used to being on camera now.
Oh, absolutely.
And moving. I could remember when my buddy the Wheeze got a video camera. It was still connected with a tether to the thing, but he had one, and it was like, it was a novelty to look at it and then look at the TV set, then look at you. It's like, hey, look at me. I'm moving.
Yeah. I'm on the TV.
I'm on the TV. It's like, yeah. Hey, idiot. Remember when you were in the mirror 10 minutes ago? Same concept, really. Same view. But it's like, hey, look at me. I'm moving. Hey, look at me. I'm on the TV. Hey. I think people now with more and more video cameras everywhere,
oh, yeah,
surveillance,
everything. In front of stuff.
I think your kids are just won't be any big whoop if someone pulls out a video camera. And I imagine having guys following you around, eventually you just ignore it, right? I mean, to a degree.
To a degree you can, yeah. But there are times, you know, when you just come in and you're really not in that mindset of, oh, God, there's cameras in here, and you just go through the house and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you mean there's the ones that are fixed to the wall.
Yeah, and it's like you can't. I just wanted to say,
right,
but I can't say it.
Right.
You know.
Right. But so you're saying even more so than the guy following you around with the camera is the surveillance part.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's loads of times where I've gone around the house and, you know, you're picking your nose or you're biting your fingernails and you're doing personal things and you go, oh no.
I would have to be, I don't know what I have. First I have to go to some sort of training seminar to stop scratching my ass.
No, they'd have to actually, you know, they have those mitts.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I would have
boxing gloves.
A dog collar, too, one of those big things, so I could get to my nose and stuff.
Your mouth, your hair, you're picking stuff.
I can't even break wind without doing the fan thing. Yeah. I can't, my
you
hand.
You'd be walking around the big lampshade thing, upside down.
No, it's like, you know, in the middle horrible. Of the night, you go downstairs, you want to make something to eat, and you're like, you know, it's like, just do that. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Adam, he'd be scratching your nuts and farting.
It'd be a disaster.
Oh, my God, the VCR.
Is there any feeling of security, though, in an interesting way? Like, you don't feel alone in your big house? Or frightened of intruders or something? Is there feeling of...
That's the one thing. Now, I never feel afraid that there ever be intruders. That never in LA.
Yeah, like, you're not going to go home to a dark... Like,
no.
You go home and... The kids are out and Ozzy's not there. Whatever's kind of weird. Like, you go in, you don't know what's going on. You know, you turn on all lights.
I do always feel safe in my house. That's very true. I do.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Sharon Osbourne here tonight. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. Where did the time go? I'll tell you, that little angel Sharon Osbourne gobbled it all up.
I could have figured it out if you just told me the time more frequently, then I would have been able to pay attention.
That's it, 722-22-7. It's 38 away from top. Yeah. Sharon, God bless, Godspeed, good luck, girl.
Thank you.
Are you going to live in England for a while?
Only for a couple of months.
Couple months, all right.
Yeah, should be right back.
Oh, of course.
All right. They live in things called flats over there, Drew.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, Osbourne DVD coming out on May 4th. Look for them on Leno coming up on Wednesday, and then Kimmel coming up the following Monday. That's the one you need to watch. Sharon, say hi to Osbourne for me, though. Don't age me.
Telling you, first thing I'm
going to
do.
He's probably waiting. No, she's listening. Hey, Osman, you listening, buddy? Sharon's going to tell you I said hi in about a half an hour.
He'll sit up and wait for that.
I'm going to hang out, watch the History Channel with him.
Well, we're going to do it.
So until next time, it's Adam Crawler for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I got out of it through prayer. Sorry, Adam, but God is real.
All right, well, look.
Just hold on.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.